Welcome back to hour number two of Sports Talk with Vince Farrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. Really pleased now to be joined by a longtime friend of the program, longtime friend, that is Chad Speck, sports agent with A3. Chad, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Jimmy and Vince. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. I just wonder, with all of what's going on and the uncertainty and the lack of training camps in the NFL and so forth, how difficult is it being a sports agent right now?
Well, that's a great question, and it's very difficult. And, you know, first and foremost, you always think about your players because that's what your obligation is to. And so, you know, from that standpoint, just taking football, for example, and there's so many players that, you know, don't get an off season or an opportunity, you know, to potentially fight for a roster spot. And, you know, the league forced the teams to go from 90 to 80 before practices even start. And, you know, a lot of the roster spots are already, you know, fairly predetermined based on, you know, last year and who's under contract and whatnot. And so every year you just got a handful of guys fighting for a spot. And, you know, so many players just don't get that opportunity now because of the things that you just mentioned. And then, you know, closer to home, it's really hard, you know, when you represent players full time, it's really hard to have any idea what your own, you know, agency income is going to look like because, you know, from day to day, it's a different deal. And of course, we only get paid when the players get paid. So it's been an interesting time for sure.
So when you have a player like Daniel Bettuli that does get cut, how do you find another home for him without his availability to practice? What do you do?
Yeah, well, the most critical thing is, you know, for the player himself is to stay safe, you know, make sure they're staying in shape, obviously, and then make sure they're not, you know, they're not doing anything that could potentially cause them to be exposed to the virus so that if they're called upon, you know, they can be ready to go. And then it's constantly just calling folks, trying to, you know, track these player opt-outs, trying to see, you know, who tests positive for COVID, who ends up going on a team's, you know, COVID-19, you know, IR list. And you're going to see all throughout the year, I mean, assuming they're able to play the whole season, you're going to see rosters, especially the back end of rosters, you know, the 45th to 55th player and the practice squads, you're going to see those rosters shuffle unlike anything, you know, at least we've ever seen in my career.
Do you anticipate that a number of these players that have kind of been left out with the inability as a free agent to make a team based on a lack of practice, or some of them just going to have to wait till next year? Is that one of the facts that they're going to have to face?
Yeah, I think there's no question that's going to be the case because a lot of teams are going to rely on veteran players. So I personally think you might even see a veteran player who was maybe out of football all last year, you know, return to a team that has some familiarity with him just because he knows what to do. He knows the system. He knows the day-in and day-out grind of the NFL, and it's a lot easier than, you know, maybe bringing in a younger player that they haven't had as much exposure to. And, you know, with all the other leagues, of course, the XFL went bankrupt, and the Canadian Football League has not been able to play because of Corona. It's not like there's some other places you can go and try to get tape and get film. A lot of it is just going to be, you know, hey, you know, come back next year and try to take a swing at it. And then eventually the league's going to allow, you know, teams to do some of their weekly workouts where they bring in guys to take a look. But, you know, some of those protocols, you know, are still being worked out. And like I said, I mean, there'll be a lot of guys that as long as they stay safe and stay ready, you know, there'll be opportunities to, you know, to join practice squads over the course of the year, because I think some of these strict quarantine rules within the NFL are just inevitable that, you know, some guys are going to have to get sidelined for a few weeks.
Chad, do you think those NFL teams are going to use the practice squads for more of the veterans? Because I think they loosened up that rule in the type of player they can have in there. Or do you think that they will try to develop those guys and use those extra spots for younger players?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination of both. And I think it's also going to be based on the competitive nature of your team. You know, someone who's, of course, everybody thinks they got a chance to win the Super Bowl right now, but as the year progresses, you know, you're going to understand, you know, what your playoff chances are and are not. You may see those teams go on the more developmental side of things, you know, whereas some of the other teams that are competitive may want to make sure, hey, we've got this guy under contract. He's a veteran guy. You know we can plug him in if we have to, you know, based on the, you know, different eligibility of the practice squad. So I think you're going to see a combination of both of them.
On Daniel, did that just come down to numbers for him in terms of them shrinking their roster really early?
Yeah, absolutely. It came down to numbers. And, you know, obviously he hadn't been there, you know, was an undrafted player. And, you know, a lot of those guys, the reps, just aren't going to be there. There's no preseason games. You can't go get film. And, you know, so the ability to really, you know, make a difference, catch somebody's eye, it's completely different than it is in a typical year.
I want you to tell the story of one of your clients that's on the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who's a doctor, he's so accomplished, and he was really the first NFL player to make a decision to opt out of the season. Explain what went into his decision and what he's going to be doing instead.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was the first, and I think he had a very unique perspective on this thing because he worked in a long-term healthcare facility in Canada throughout the quarantine. You know, as you say, he's a medical school graduate, you know, doctor, still got to finish his residency, but, you know, he's well on his way, and it's an amazing story. But for him, you know, it's just like the NFL and the union has said all along, look, there's no way to completely eliminate risk, you know, for the players, you know, possibly even for the community if fans are allowed to come. There's no way to completely eliminate the risk. And, you know, doctors are just wired different. I mean, they care for people, you know, they want to help people. And Laurent just really felt like, based on, you know, the commitment that he had made and the oath that he has taken, that, hey, if I am going to take a risk, then I'm going to do it caring for others, not do it, you know, making a few million dollars to go play a game. And, you know, I don't know too many of us that think like that. And it's just really a phenomenal story. And he's going to be doing some more of what he was doing in quarantine, you know, working in some of the long-term healthcare facilities, and I think getting things in place to push further in on his residency and some of the other studies he's got to do.
Chad, did he not go to Canada to help out?
Is he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's been there. He's been there the entire quarantine.
So is he gonna stay in Canada to help out? Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
In Canada.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
In Canada.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And this is a big lineman, right?
Yep, big lineman.
But that's a great story. Chad,
really is.
Yeah. Are you in position to advise players on what they should do as far as playing or opting out? Or do you feel like maybe you could just educate them and then they make the decision?
Yeah, the latter. I think it's an education. It's making sure they understand, the rules, the economics of it from a financing standpoint. Here's what happens: if you're in the high risk category, you can opt out. You get $350,000 for the year. If you're just opting out because you're not comfortable playing, you're going to get $150,000 advance on next year's salary. That's a loan. It's an advance. The high risk categories of players, you know, that is a stipend. They will not owe that back to the teams. And so, you know, making sure they understand that, and then making sure they understand, you know, what's going to be required of them this year from a protocol standpoint. Because if a player violates the protocols and makes high-risk decisions, you know, we saw Lou Williams in the NBA, you know, get in trouble in Atlanta for, you know, violating protocols. And if something like that's done in the NFL, I mean, you know, the club's going to have an opportunity to fine you or discipline you in some way. And so making sure they understand that. And then really it's a personal decision, you know, for every player. And all of our levels of risk, you know, are different. And when you're talking about the health and safety of your body, that's a very personal thing. And I think it's for no one to say what to do or not to do. And we've just felt like it's our position to just educate them on everything and then let them make a decision.
You have represented, since he got to the NFL, Eric Berry. And obviously with his pre-existing condition, I would think it's highly unlikely he would play this year. But do you think that Eric has a desire to play in the NFL again?
Yes, I think that he does. And certainly, you know, this COVID thing is a curveball when it comes to all that. I mean, it kind of remains to be seen, you know, how that's going to play out. But Eric has been training extremely hard. He looks phenomenal. And I absolutely believe the passion is there, and we'll just have to see, you know, ultimately, you know, how that plays out.
So, Chad, I know you probably won't give up the specific teams that are interested in him, but what's a number in terms of teams that you think have expressed legitimate interest in bringing him aboard this year?
Well, I bet you know, Vince, since January, so, you know, Senior Bowl, you know, teams are getting ready for free agency and the combine and everything. Since that period of time to now, man, I would guess probably at least 18, 19 teams said, look, call us immediately, you know, if he's playing.
Wow. And what about any of your other clients that are of note? That you've had an unusual experience with or in battling this COVID? Anything else jumps out in terms of what you had to deal with in terms of any of your clients?
Well, you know, another guy we all know here in East Tennessee, Daryl Taylor, obviously had the surgery in January to repair the stress fracture, and so that's been a very interesting process. You know, drafted in the second round by the Seahawks, went real high in the draft, but they haven't been able to, you know, manage any of the rehab, which typically, you know, those guys are in rookie minicamp within, you know, a week to 10 days of the draft. And so we've been having to do, you know, Zoom calls with physicians and, you know, go get a scan here somewhere in Knoxville and then get it shipped out to Seattle. And it's been it's been pretty wild when you're dealing with a player, especially a player that's never ever reported to the team he's going to play for, yet is, you know, trying to handle a medical situation.
Our guest, Chad Speck, sports agent with A3. Chad, I didn't know this until, I guess, after the season, that Taylor had basically played the year with a stress fracture. He did what he did under those circumstances.
Yeah, the entire year. I'm telling you, I've been representing guys 16 years. Daryl Taylor is one of the toughest people I've ever seen in my life. It's pretty astounding to me, his pain tolerance.
Did he ever share with you after he hired you that he thought about opting out, or was that ever even an option?
No, he never considered it. He told us he thought about it and whatnot, but never been something that he gave serious consideration to. And look, when you're talking about rookie players, you know, it's about earlier. It's a personal decision for everyone.
I'm sorry. I meant opt out of his senior year at Tennessee.
No. No. He never said that he thought about sitting down at all. That's why I say he's so tough. And you know, you talk to the guys over at UT in the training room and whatnot. They're like, man, we knew he had it and managed it and all that kind of stuff. But he barely complained. I mean, they did everything over there that they were supposed to. I mean, he's just a tough dude.
Would you expect between the now and the deadline for players to opt out in the NFL, which is tomorrow at 4 o'clock, would you expect to see a large number decide, nope, I'm not going to roll the dice. I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to play this year?
I think we'll see a handful of players make that decision, you know, over the next 24 hours. I don't know if I think it's going to be a lot. Obviously, you know, several guys have already announced, you know, most of these guys are at their team facilities now. And so they see all the, you know, precautions that are taking place. And I think it's just going to be, you know, hey, are you comfortable with the environment that you're seeing? And, you know, are you willing to put up with this, you know, for the next, you know, 4 or 5 months? And, you know, and then guys will kind of decide from there. But I wouldn't expect to see just, you know, just a whole lot of players over the next 24 hours do it, but I'm certain we're going to see some.
Ted, will you be traveling a lot with the NFL or to watch your clients at various NFL cities, or would you feel safe even doing that?
Well, as of right now, you know, we haven't. We haven't traveled, you know, near as much. And my son was joking with me the other day that he didn't want me to lose my Sky Club access at the airport. and that might be going out the door this year, but as of right now, we can't. I mean, we're not allowed in training camps. Typically, we are. We're not allowed in training camps. You know, players are very restricted on who they can interact with. So as of right now, it's real up in the air. I mean, you're going to have a lot of local and state jurisdictions that will make decisions on fans and who can be in the stadium. And, you know, the Raiders have announced there's going to be no fans. So, we won't be going on the road near as much as, you know, as we typically have been in the past, I don't think.
All right. Well, watch out for that Sky Club access. That could be a problem.
I know, right?
Hey, Ted, thank you so much. Really do appreciate you taking the time to visit with us, and hopefully we'll get a chance to visit with you again sometime in the near future.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Chad. Chad Speck, sports agent with A3, his comments are really interesting, what agents are going through right now as well with their players.